sort of thing happened first? Which event happened first?
Of the fast days. Which one? Tum Gedalia happened first?
No, that was the last one.
Tum Gedalia was the last one because after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. What happened in Asar B'Teves? They put a siege around the city. That was in the ninth year of Tzidkiyahu. Then a year and a half later, they breached the wall when? Shiva Sabbatamos. And then the temple was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. And then a couple of months later, it was Tum Gedalia. Got it? But all four fast days were there. I was just telling until they take it. Now, the fast days were Jewish custom already from the time of the destruction of the first temple. Which ones repeated themselves in the second temple? That's not the topic today. And the Jews began a custom, not according to the Bible, but according to the rabbis, the Jewish people, took upon themselves the custom to fast. The custom of fasting on Tanis Esther is actually only about 1,000 years old. It's relatively new. It's like a new kind of fast day in Jewish tradition. 1,000 years is like modern. But we're going to talk about the four fast days. In fact, the rabbis call them the four fast days. You know that? And they're all about Yerushalayim. But what I want to talk about today is because they're in the end of the first temple period, it's going to be, they'll be discussed in Tanakh. And we're going to discuss the question, were the fast days instituted to remember what happened or why it happened? Understand the difference? It's real simple, but without noticing, most of us think that the purpose of the fast days is to remember what happened. Remember how bad things were and that God saved us. Now, what I want to show you today, the fast days are to remember why it happened. And if they remember why it happened, what's the main thing you do on the fast day? Not remember the fact that there was a destruction, but remember what? Why there was this destruction. Because in that way, you're not just commemorating, it's like nostalgia. It's like any type of zikaron. There's zikaron, which is nostalgic, you remember something, or the zikaron, which is transformative, where I remember something and that changes how I act. Like remembering the Exodus. That's also a commandment, isn't it? Is that remembering what happened or why it or the purpose of why it happened? You follow? Are we remembering that God took us out of Egypt or why he took us out of Egypt? You follow? If it's that he took us out of Egypt, that's gratitude. If it's why he took us out of Egypt, it's purpose. Get the difference? Once a year is fine to remember something out of gratitude. If you have to remember something every day, that's something that affects your day-to-day behavior. Now, what we're going to do today is we're going to read a responsa. You know what that is, a responsa? What do you call a response in Hebrew? S-H-O-O-T? Oh, shoot? No, shoot. You're right. Shoot stands for what? Shelot to tshuva. It's a shoot. Shela u'tshuva. So the Rosh Tevot, it's shoot. So it's called shooting. Now, anyone who studies Jewish history in college, later on those days, most of Jewish history is built on shooting. Because very few people wrote history books in medieval time. But there was lots of rabbis writing letters and questions and answering back. And from those responses, you can learn history. What we're going to do in your preparation time is we're going to study what I call the very first responsa. Understand? By response, I mean a community sends a question to a rabbi far away, and the rabbi writes an answer. Is that the classic responsa? There's a community question. It's not what I need to do, what we need to do. There's a question that has to do with the community of importance. They send a question to a rabbi, and the rabbi writes an answer. But as long as the rabbi has an answer, what's the rabbi usually do together with the answer? He uses it as a springboard to give a little, a little hashkafa, a little points here and there. So what's really neat, and this is just cute, it's the first responsa in Jewish history is the last story, is one of the last stories in the Bible. It's one of the last books of the Bible. No one knows what I'm talking about. Of course you don't. Okay. It goes like this. In the beginning of the Second Temple period, there's a responsa, there's a community in Babylonia that sends a letter, or actually sends a delegation with a letter to Jerusalem, asking a big question, do we continue fasting on Tisha B'Av? In Hebrew, I have Kei B'Chodesh HaChamishi. Anyone ever hear of that? No. Who learned it in high school? Anybody? Probably nobody. Good. You guys learned it in Frisch? No. No one learned it? I hope not. Anyone know who the Navi was? Who said Zechariah? Yeah, how'd you know that? You learned it? It's not right. Most people... Who's heard of Zechariah? Okay, Zechariah, you've heard of him, right? He's in what book is he in? It's Zechariah, but he's in what's called the Minor Prophets, Treasar. We put all 12 of them together there. There's a delegation in Bavel, the community in Bavel, sending a letter to Yerushalayim, test the Navi, do we continue fasting on Tisha B'Av? How come they're sending the letter when they're sending the letter? Why do you think they're sending the letter? Why do you think they're asking? Because the temple was under construction. Got it? No, the second temple is under construction. They broke ground already, but it wasn't finished. It's in the middle of construction. And they're asking the question now that the temple is being constructed, what's the question? Do we have to fast? It's a good question, isn't it? No. We're going to read about it in a minute, just to make sure before we read it inside. Just one other question. When did they build the second temple? A better question. Who built the second temple? Wait, who built the first temple? Shlomo. Who built the second temple? Louder? Ezra or Nehemiah? Are both. They did it together. Who learned that in school, that Ezra and Nehemiah built the second temple? Yeah. What? Yeah. Yep. This, it's really cute because you hear that answer a lot. Who built the second temple? Ezra and Nehemiah. No. It's there's not one source for that. Now, why is everyone mixed up? There's a book called Ezra and Nehemiah, which is really Ezra, but Ezra and Nehemiah becomes sort of one book. And in the book that we call Ezra and Nehemiah is the story of the second temple being rebuilt. You follow? We're going to read that book today. Not all of it, but part of it. Got it? Now, it never says anywhere that Ezra built it. In fact, who built it according to Tanakh? Yeah. Remember that you sang that song, Keitz Bavel? The Keitz, how's it go? Remember? After 70 years, Rubavel came back and built the temple. Remember that one? No. It says it 5-6 times specific. Zerubbabel was the one who came. He was a political leader. He led the return, and that's who built the temple. Now, the story of Zerubbabel returning and building the temple is recorded in the book of Ezra. But Ezra himself comes much later. Now, anyone know who was the Persian king who allowed them to build it? Well, I heard two answers. This is great. I heard Koresh and I heard Dayavish. What? But who came first? Koresh was the first Persian king who defeated the Babylonians, took over Babylon, and he allowed the Jews to return to build the temple. I'm sure you learned that. But even though he allowed the Jews to come back and rebuild the temple, some people came back to build the temple, and guess what happened? It didn't get off the ground. There was a little intifada, and there was a building freeze for about 18 years. And then 18 years later, the Republicans got back in. There's a new administration. There's a new king named Dariavesh. And he allows them, gives them a second chance. And they break ground, in the second year of Dariavesh, they break ground on the temple, actually on the 24th of Kislev, if you know that story. And it takes 4 years to build. They dedicate it in the sixth year of Dariavesh. Is that clear? That was, in the time of Koresh, they have the right to return. 18 years later, they're building it in the time of, they can finally build it during Dariavesh. Understand? Year 2 to year 6 of Dariavesh. It's real simple. Now, the question about fasting on Tisha B'Av is sent on the fourth year of Dariavesh. You got it? Which means what? What's probably happening in Jerusalem? The temple is under construction. It's almost done, but it's not done yet. It's almost done. That's why they're saying the question. And what does the question seem to be asking? Is it finished yet? Can you follow? In other words, at what point of construction can we stop fasting? Got it? In other words, they don't send it earlier because it wasn't built yet. Once it's built, probably there's no question. The question is it time to stop fasting? And that's a great opportunity for a Navi to give it to him. You follow? So what we're going to do before the preparation, we're going to read just a little bit to make sure you know where we're holding. And then I'll give you a little preparation things to read. So open up. Can you find the book of Zechariah? It's real easy. Everyone have a Tanakh, I'm assuming? They all have Tanakhim, don't they? Yes. Yeah. Take your Tanakhim. If you don't have, we'll maybe we'll run off later. But everyone has. I think you have, don't you? Everyone has one? Someone there? Open them up. If you want to find Zechariah, it's really easy. Go to Tehillim. You can all find Tehillim. Because if you open up the Tanakh, there's about a 30% chance you'll open up to Tehillim anyhow. It's big. And then go to Tehillim, Perek 0. You follow? Go to the beginning of Tehillim and back it up two books. Malachi and Zechariah. No one understood that. Understand my point? It's right before Tehillim. So Malachi is like three chapters right before Tehillim, and then you have Zechariah. Zechariah Perek Zayin. Got it? That's Zechariah Perek Zayin. Someone in the back with a good loud voice. Who's in the back row with a loud voice? Loud voice? Anyone? Yeah. You have a loud voice?
Yeah.
Let's try. Okay. Everyone have it? Zechariah Perek Zayin, you found her? That was fast. Zechariah Perek Zayin. Okay, listen carefully. Well, okay. It's a set, it's the fourth year of Dayavesh, is that so? And this is in Nevuah Tezcharia. Continue. No. That's Perek Aleph. That's Perek Aleph. Yeah, sorry about that. Chapter 7, Perek Zayin. Sorry about that. Have a chapter 7 right to chapter 6. Ah, that's better. It's the fourth year of Dayavesh. Now we're talking business. Okay. Sorry, Etzer. Okay. There's a delegation from Bavel, Sir Etzer, and Regem Melech and his men. Right? And they're sending a message to Lechalot et Pnei Hashem, which means what? Lechalot et Pnei Hashem? Like Vaychal Moshe, we'll read it this afternoon. Lechalot is to Vaychal Moshe. It's like to pray or to ask for something. You've heard that word before, haven't you? Okay. Lechalot et Pnei Hashem means to beseech God, ask a question to God. Continue. Any more? Listen, what's the question? Do we continue crying in the fifth month, which means do we continue fasting on Tisha B'Av? Remember, Chodesh Av is the fifth month. Ki Nazir, should I like limit myself? Like from drinking and eating, like a Nazir? Like I've done for many years. Understand? Now, if you don't know the history of what's going on from the Book of Ezra, you don't know exactly the context, but when you read the Book of Ezra, you see exactly what's happening. It's in the middle of building the temple. Now, so that's a nice... What type of question should I expect to... I mean, what type of answer should I hear? Yes, either yes or no, right? Let me ask a question. Listen to the answer, then I'll be good. Okay, you read it correctly, but you read it wrong. But I knew you would do that. Because there's no punctuation. But there should be like a question mark. It's like a rhetorical question. God's answering like this. God tells Zechariah, go tell the people, when you've been fasting for the last 70 years, on the fifth day, and we'll see these two fast days, and the fifth month and seventh month, have I been fasting? Has God been fasting? Here's what God's asking. He says, you've been fasting for the last 70 years. Have I been fasting? No, does God fast? No. Read one more line. You see what he means? Hello?
Hello, at a very mature.
No. Go back. You skip one line.
Okay.
When you eat and drink, you're the ones eating and drinking, not me. You know what God's asking? He says, and I'll make it nice and simple. God says, don't ask me the Rabbanans, ask me the Arises. You didn't understand that. You got the question? Got the point? God's saying, who decided to fast? God says, in my book, it doesn't say fasting, does it? Just Yom Kippur, but my book, the Bible, doesn't say to fast on Tisha B'Av. But who decided to fast? You guys, the rabbis, you decided to fast. He says, go ask your rabbis, you follow? That's not a question for God. Because eating, I don't eat, you eat. I don't fast, you fast, you follow? That's your decision. But now, let me tell you what you should have asked me, you follow? What God's going to do? Here's what I want you to do. Here's what you should have been asking me. Got it? If you want to fast, that's your thing. But if you want to know what you should be asking God, as long as you came all the way to Jerusalem to ask a question, here's what you should be asking. And listen to what he says now, and that will take us off to our study. Yeah? Hello?
Hello, I said Mary Mashiach Karash and Yavanim, Mary Shurim, Yot Yerushalayim, Yoshevet, Ushleva, Areha, Sivotem, and Negev, Hashvila,
Yoshev. I'll explain what he's saying. Okay? What you need to do, and know, Zechariah is saying, you don't need another Navi. You know why? You have the earlier Navi. He calls them Navim Rishonim, we call them Yirmiyahu and Yishayahu. He says, there's a reason why the temple was destroyed. Why are you fasting? You're fasting because the temple was destroyed. You know what he says? There's a reason why it was destroyed. What was the reason? He says, read the earlier prophets who warned them, Yirmiyahu, tried to prevent the destruction from happening. He warned the people, what will happen if they don't do proper tshuva? They didn't listen to Yirmiyahu, and therefore the temple was destroyed. Now it's being built. are you asking? He says, you're not asking, is it going to be built? You're asking, is it going to remain? Is this one going to work? And God's answer is simple. It's not up to God, it's up to you. Listen carefully. The people are basically asking, is this Reshit Tzmichat Gedolteinu? The people are asking, do we continue fasting on Tisha B'Av? Like Rabbi was saying before, is Tisha B'Av going to be a holiday this year? You know, is it over? And they're thinking, they're asking God because God knows if this is redemption or not. God's answer is, I'm doing what I can do, but don't ask God, it's up to you. You follow? You can make it Reshit Tzmichat Gedolteinu if you're worthy of having a Mikdash. I can enable you to build it, will it last? If you act properly. How do you know what God wants you to do? Just read what the earlier prophet said, why it was destroyed. And if you return now when it's being built and you act the right way and don't repeat the mistakes of your first generation, then it'll remain. So God's saying, don't ask me if this is redemption, ask yourselves. And it's up to you to make it happen. Got it? God's saying, I'll do my side, I did my side, you do your side. Now we have to read, what was it that the earlier Nevi'im said? Now, what did you guys learn? Why was the first temple destroyed? Give me the right wrong answer. What? You learned about the big three? Who learned that? The big three? The first temple went down for the big three, and the second one? For Sinat Chinam, or Sinat Tachim. The first one being the big three. You know what the big three are? Avodah Zarah, Gilul Arayos, and Shfichus Damim. Now, that's the Gemara in Yoma. But if you look carefully at the Gemara in Yoma, because Gemara seems to know your Tanakh, the psukim they're quoting, and the Gzar Din Chorban they're talking about was from the time of Menashe, 100 years earlier, when the Assyrians took over, when the 10 tribes went into exile. If you know your Yirmiyahu, that's not the reason why the first temple goes down. That Gemara is talking about how bad Sinat Chinam is, but it's a little too complicated for now. What we're going to do, we're going to read Yirmiyahu, what he said went wrong. In the time of Yirmiyahu, they're serving God in the Beit HaMikdash. And they're bringing korbanot and they're praying to God. There's no idol worship. There might be Adoreel, but it's not the big problem then. And there's definitely not, there's Shfichut Damim of a different type, we'll talk about. But the main problem with Yirmiyahu says, we'll read what Yirmiyahu says, is the people are serving God, they're in the Beit HaMikdash, they're bringing korbanot and they're praying to God, but when they leave the Beit HaMikdash, their behavior is rotten. Their society is corrupt and unjust. And he's saying, what Yirmiyahu says is, God will not allow a situation where the Jewish people have a temple, and they're praying to God, and they're waving a flag that we're God's people, but the way they behave in their day-to-day society makes God look bad. God says, I'm warning you, and I can't continue that way. He says, if you continue coming to the temple and praying, and returning home and acting like bums, and making me look bad, God says, I got to pull the whistle on that. He warned them over and over again, and finally, in the time of Yirmiyahu, he says, that's it. Now, in case people forgot, read one more line in Zechariah, because Zechariah is going to repeat that key point that Yirmiyahu said. You know what that means? Mishpat Emet Shvoto? What's Mishpat Emet Shvoto mean? Mishpat Emet Shvoto, judge in truth. In other words, you can judge, you can have a judicial system, but it can be corrupt. Keep going. Shetachit. And do what? Chesed and Rachamim are? No, it does work something. Don't you? Chesed and Rachamim do ish et achiv. Continue. Tashoku. It's don't what? Don't oppress the stranger, the orphan, and the widow. I'm looking for an eraser. Oh, here it is. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, continue. Okay. And don't think about bad things about your... I can't reach that. Okay. About other people. Got it? Don't plot. One more line and we're finished. Lakshmi. Who didn't listen? The people by Rishon didn't listen. And he goes on, what happened? They put up a cold shoulder, they didn't listen, and therefore God sent them out. You're going to read that later on your own. Now, here's what we're going to do. Because we need a little preparation time, right? We're going to go eat some coffee. Oh, there's no coffee today. How am I going to teach without coffee? Come up with something. Here's what we're going to do. You're going to read Zechariah Perek. Yeah, right here on the board. That's the one right there, sir. Zechariah, Prakim, Zayin Chet. Got it? That's the main thing we're reading. Because he finally gets to the answer in the end of Parachet. But just for the fun of it, look at the last line of Parachet. The last line of Parachet. I want you to notice something when you read. What's Chayu saying? But read that one. Bimim Ahim. Notice, you have to figure out what are Biyamim Ahima when you read it. But what will happen in those days, in these good great days? What will happen? There'll be what? There'll be tens of people coming, non-Jews, you know, tourists coming to Israel, inspired by God, waiting in line just to have an audience from an Ishiyudi. To get an audience from an Ish Yudi, to get guidance about the ways of God. Understand? That's a big hope. If the temple gets off the ground the right way. Now, that phrase Ish Yudi, sounds familiar? Mm-hmm. Want to take a wild guess how many times you have the phrase Ish Yudi in Tanakh?
Twice.
Yeah. And according to Zechariah, where should this Ish Yudi be? In where? In what Bira? Yeah. And where is he instead? Okay, and what's his name? Mordechai. You know what Mordechai, what kind of name Mordechai is?
Persian.
It's a Persian, not it's a Persian name. Is anyone named Mordechai in Beit Rishon?
No, there was a king named that.
There's a king named Mordechai, Marduk. There's two kings named Mordechai. There's many kings named Mordechai, and they're all Babylonian. Because the Babylonian god, his name is Merodach, or Marduk. Merodach. Yeah, but don't be surprised when Jews are living in Chutz Laaretz already. They take on Babylonian names. That happens a lot. So you'll have American, you follow? Mordechai's a wonderful guy, don't worry. But the fact that all of a sudden we have someone, a great Jewish person, and his name is a non-Jewish name, a name of a different God, it's like something strange is going on, right? We'll get to it. I hope I didn't scare you. But we'll not only stand Tani Tester, we'll understand its connection to Purim. You follow? Now, here's what you need to do. We're going to read Zechariah, Prakim, Zayin, and Chet, got it? Now, he's talking about what the earlier Nevim said. We have to read one parak in Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu, parak Zayin, got it? That, Pesukim Aleph to Tetvav is enough. Aleph to, yeah, Aleph to Yudal, up to Tetvav is enough, okay? Aleph to Tetvav, all right, in English, 7, 1 to 15. Parak Zayin, Aleph to Tetvav, you get that? Read that part from Yirmiyahu, and so you know what Yirmiyahu said, and as long as you're doing Yirmiyahu, do Yirmiyahu Perek Chaf Hei. Yirmiyahu Perek Chaf Hei. Also the first, same thing, 1 to 15. Chaf Hei Aleph to Tetvav. Yirmiyahu, that's 25, 1 to 15. Okay, okay. And one other book. Another book? Ezra. How's Ezra? Just Ezra's not that important because you've learned it before, but just Ezra. All right, up here. Ezra. You can find that. That's like in the back. Ezra. Ezra is... where are you going to read Ezra from? Ezra, Perek Aleph. I'll just read it in English. The first eight psukim, 1 to 8. And then Perek Daled, 1 to 6. Okay? That should be enough. Let's get that from Ezra. You got that on the board? Again, Ezra, Perek Aleph, 1 to 8, that's Koresh. And then chapter 4 is, one more little thing, just to make it easy. It's in Aramaic, he's reading in English, 14, 15. Okay. This is Koresh, this is Daryavesh, and this is when they finish the temple in the 6th year of Daryavesh. That's just a technicality, no big deal. But the main one is just to read. If you don't have time, just read Zechariah, Zayin, Chet. That's cool. Because that's the history. If you have time, you can read what Yirmiyahu said. You can read what Yirmiyahu said. Alrighty, you won't finish at all. We're going to start in 5 minutes. No, we'll pick up at 10. It's quarter of 10. The shiur is going to start at 10. 10:10. How's that? Is that good? 10:10. We have 10:10. Okay, so 10:10. But 10:10 mamish. I'm going to say 10:05. So we'll start by 10:10. Okay, because there's no announcement to say 10:30. There's an announcement to say